Hi everyone, we have an incredible interview for you today with Rachel Lotz, who is a beast of an OCR, but is most known for her expedites in the Go Ruck challenges. And she has done some incredible work there and broken a lot of boundaries in many ways. We also hear about her mental toughness and how she earned the nickname Blackout, and it's not what you all may be thinking. So please enjoy this episode. I'm really grateful to Rachel for taking the time to chat with us, and it is pretty fantastic. I will say the start of the audio is a bit wonky, so bear with us, it gets better, but just be warned that it is not quite up to our usual standard at the beginning. I want to take a second to introduce you guys to a new sponsor for the show. So I have been a longtime fan of Exoskin and have been using them in my races, training, marathons for a couple years now. I cannot speak highly enough about the toe socks, the compression sleeves. I managed to run 95 marathons with barely a blister, and that was all done in Exoskin socks. I am such a huge fan, and I'm really excited to be bringing them on as a sponsor for this episode and give you all the chance to check out Exoskin with us. So if you would like a 20% off discount, use the code COTR21 when you check out, and you will receive 20% off. That again is COTR21. We will also have that linked in the show notes. So thank you, Exoskin, for partnering with us on this. And I really encourage you all to check out these amazing products. Your feet will thank you. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Coaches on the Run podcast.
This is Alex.
And Alyssa.
We're both full-time coaches, and we're here to answer your common and not-so-common trail and ultra questions.
Hi, my name is Rachel Lotz. I'm originally from California, lived in Portland for the past 8 years, and recently moved back to California. I've always had a huge background in collegiate sports, high school sports, really anything to keep active, snowboarding, skiing, what have you. Not very exciting, just working and working out really. But welcome to Coaches on the Run podcast.
Awesome. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. I am honored to be talking to a huge badass such as yourself. My husband has done a lot of Go Ruck events and watched, I think it was Selection, one of those documentaries. And then he heard about you finishing pre-selection and was like, you got to run. She sounds amazing. It's like, absolutely. So on that note, what got you into doing these type of events of long ruckus, really tough strength events, kind of this Mary type-esque training and OCR?
Again, I kind of have a background in like collegiate sports. So once college kind of was ending, I didn't really know what to do with my time. And actually my dad got me a Groupon for a Spartan race back in like 2016 and was like, hey, I think this might be cool. Try it out. I mean, obviously that took off and I just kept doing the harder thing, kind of going up the chain of Spartan events. I did two Agogies, the death race, multiple 12 hours, 4 hours. And then I decided I wanted to kind of do every event once. So I have done like TPK, the CC Iron, just wanting to try it all. And then last year I got the great idea to attempt Go Ruck Selection and was knocked out actually in the PT test. So that was kind of just climbing up the ladder of doing the harder thing.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you certainly, that escalated quickly, I guess.
what I would say.
Definitely.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I absolutely love that. And I know that Alyssa's husband does not compliment lightly. So I've talked to him as Alyssa's done a handful of events and kind of been a behind the scenes co-conspirator of hers to convince him into a few things. But that said, I have a lot of respect for you. I've done a lot of Spartans and Spartan Ultras myself. I worked for them, oh gosh, a lot of years ago. But I think one thing that a lot of people struggle with, and I think that you've done really well, and it seems effortlessly, but I'm sure it's not, is kind of hopping into a new sport and new activity, not being intimidated by like the male domination of that sport. So I guess like what pushed you? Was it your college background? Was it your personality type? Did you have any nervousness about getting into something so new?
I think definitely just my personality type. I'm very type A, very OCD. So I think just when I see something, I almost obsess over it, which can be good in this case. Really, I mean, Spartan, it was like trying to be the best in my age group, trying to run the fastest, this and that. And now it's carrying the heaviest for the longest distance. I just think, especially last year, having something that I wasn't good at, which was selection, that bothers me. So I guess just kind of seeing, kind of looping back around to the male dominant aspect of OCR, it's not as much there. It's more so an endurance. And I just think it's really interesting, kind of beating, like I think Jason had said, it was like mathematically and like statistically stacked against you. And I just think even if it's not possible, just trying to achieve that is pretty cool. And you just see and experience and get involved with a lot of different people. I don't really see gender out there. Obviously it's 45 pounds regardless. I mean, it's going to be male dominated anyway. I think just the male like gender is better and faster than women. That's just kind of, it is what it is. Like you look at the Olympics, but this is kind of nice to have a level playing field.
Yeah, definitely. And so, I mean, going off of that, I think we all sadly, or just it is, can agree that men are typically stronger and better suited for this type of event. So how do you, with your training, kind of that playing field, like what did your training look like going into selection and then learning and then adjusting and going into pre-selection?
Mm-hmm. Last year, I mean, I'm probably as civilian as you can get. Most of these people, I feel like, have backgrounds, at least most GRTs that kind of attempt selection or at least have like a general understanding. I'd never really rucked until last year. Definitely wasn't great at push-ups. Last year was just a lot of upper body work. I feel like most women are just lower dominant heavy and can run faster and kind of carry in the hips just because we're built that way. But last year's training was a lot of just rucking and getting kind of a general understanding of moving with a ruck and making sure that ruck was part of you. Obviously I didn't get to that part of selection, but then this year was kind of just, at least after team assessment that I did in September, was just everything with a ruck, whether that be like walking around the house, mowing my lawn, doing push-ups, doing sit-ups, really anything was with a ruck, that just stressing the importance of becoming one with that. And then once you do, then adding a sandbag isn't that big of a deal.
I love that. I've trained a lot of people going into like special forces or like, you know, what military, like forego ruck. And so it's so funny because you forget once you're used to carrying that weight, how much more challenging it makes all of your activities. And right now I'm pregnant, which is ironic because I've put on about 20 pounds, which is really similar to a weighted vest workout that I've, you know, have had so many people do. And I was like, man, I'd be really down on myself if I hadn't written these workouts, but I know how much harder it is to move that kind of weight all the time and how much that can just defeat you mentally. And so I was like, oh, I guess it's okay that my run times are a little slower, or my push-ups have dropped a number and my pull-ups are getting close to non-existent. And so I guess, how do you deal with the mental drain? So actually during the selection, like, how did you deal with that? The mental aspect of it all, because I know that I think is where women actually have an advantage over men a lot of times.
Definitely. I actually think, you can train to be faster and you can train to be stronger and things like that. But I think really what sets people apart, and especially at selection, is you can't train someone's like want for an event, and you also can't train just their mentality. I think that's that little kind of step up I had on a lot of people at pre-selection. I have a nickname, blackout. So pretty much when I do these events, I just black it all out. Like I try not to let it faze me. It's one task at a time. So it was at first like the push-ups and the sit-ups and the run, kind of breaking it down that it's not so much of a load on your shoulders. So it's one thing at a time, and that's a little bit easier to kind of bite off. But yeah, back to the nickname. I don't even really allow myself to have thoughts, because it's always going to suck. It's always not going to be fun. You're always going to question why you're out there. But at the end of the day, everything ends. The evolution ends, the ruck ends, the event itself ends. And just kind of keeping that in mind. And at least for me, I had a hat on the entire time. I just didn't let myself look at anyone else, really. I mean, I kind of glanced at the other participants a few times, but just almost dehumanizing the event and making it, it's just you and your sandbag, or it's just you and the ruck, or it's just you and the cadre. It was only when Cleve actually made me stare him in the face and take off my hat was when it was like, okay, this is kind of heavy, and oh, there's actually people watching this. That was when it got a little bit difficult, but definitely easier said than done, of course. Just pushing all emotions and all thoughts and everything out of your head and just kind of blank slating it during the event.
Sure, you've never considered an ultra or being in the military?
I think being able to disassociate from pain and discomfort is... that's something I talk about a lot with my clients, and some of them naturally have that skill and most of them have been in the military. And then some of them, it's a learned ability and skill. And that's, I think you really phrased that well, to like just think about one thing at a time, 1 mile at a time, one push-up, one step, whatever it has to be. I know, like, I broke my foot one time in the Grand Canyon, and for whatever reason, steps weren't like, I couldn't think about a mile at a time or half a mile at a time. I don't even think I had a watch back then, but I just, for me, counting reps, I was a bodybuilder for a long time. And so for me, I counted to 100 reps. So I just had to get to 100 and then I could take a break and then I'd do it again. And I must've counted to 100 thousands of times hiking out, but it was just how I could mentally break it up. And so I totally get that. And I think that's such a skill set. I had to cut us off and compliment you on that, but I think that's such a great mental way of coping with things. Sorry about that, Alyssa.
No, all good. Well, I was actually just curious, Rachel, did you kind of inherit this skill, or is this something you've worked on? Also very curious what sport you did in college at this point, or what sports?
I mean, I guess just kind of a lot of background. I just did a lot of research on these events. I remember just everyone asked me like, what did you do? And I'm like, I read a lot of AARs for selection. I just read a lot of information. I mean, it's 2021. We have so much information on the internet that it's definitely a learned trait. I mean, obviously applying it to events this extreme. But I did row crew in college. So that was a huge thing. I guess kind of really sparked I was in the middle of the boat, so I'm not sure if you two are familiar with crew. It's like the long, skinny boats.
Oh, yeah. And the better you are at blacking out, the better you are at rowing.
Definitely. So that I was in the middle of the boat, which is essentially like the powerhouse of the group. And essentially, if you stop rowing at any point, you get ejected out of the boat, like you get flung, or you get a 18-foot oar into your back. So you don't stop. And the winter months, we do a 5K, which is, 3.1 miles. So roughly like a 21-minute row where you can't stop. And it sucks. Like if you're hurting or something, I've had shoes like come out of the boat, something slipped, I'm off my seat, like you just can't stop. So I think that definitely, I walked in to collegiate rowing, definitely didn't know what I was doing. Only rowed for 3 years, but definitely I think was the beginning of my mentality there.
Yeah. And especially if you're spending a lot of time, I actually rowed for a year in college before switching back to lacrosse, and we had a 40-minute test. And no matter how much you wish and try and hope, you're not speeding up a 40-minute test, still 40 minutes. So I completely understand that mentality when you're sitting on an erg and you're like, well, I'm not going anywhere, and I can either just black my butt or I can be really miserable this entire time.
Exactly.
So that makes a ton of sense. And I can now, yeah, I actually just said to Alex, yep, this makes sense, crew.
Yeah. Yeah, the court is miserable. Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of made a vow that I would never sit on an erg after that. And I upheld that for 6 years. So did you, or I guess I'm super curious, and I don't necessarily want to put a label on it, but what does your day-to-day training look like? Is it like CrossFit-y type? Is it, you know, lots of longer rucks and runs? Where does that break down?
Sure. I actually have a coach who's out of Boston. I've been working with him for about 2 years. Rob Barger, who runs Red Path Performance Group. He was also working for Spartan, so you might know him. pretty much it's roughly the same each week. So it's like two lower body days, like two upper body days, and two conditioning, and then a ruck or kind of a rest day. Then just kind of building on that each week. But a lot of kind of movements. He's attempted selection before, so he's kind of familiar with the movements. So a lot of like squats and man makers, burpees, really, I guess more CrossFit now because they've gotten more involved with Rogue and all of that. But just getting good at movements with a ruck on your back. I know that sounds like probably not what a lot of people want to hear. But if you put a 45-pound ruck on your back and have to do like 50 to 200 burpees, that in itself is a workout. But then if you're doing like circuits with 50 burpees at the beginning and cashing out with, like a 3 or 4 mile ruck, you're just totally spent by it. But I think one of the biggest things is just downtime. So he has me do a lot of circuits. So it'll be like 4 movements, a 60-second rest, 4 movements, 4 times. And I can't stress enough just being able to kind of, again, black it out and just realizing, okay, my 60 seconds is up, like I have to go back into this workout, and okay, my legs are totally spent, but I still have one more round. I think that's really what hurts people the most, is they stop or they take that extra second to stretch and then something is cramping, or you just don't want to. So a lot of mental training as well.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's something, so I coach online and so does Alyssa, and I think that's something that's really hard for me to get across without conversations or without coaching in person to people, is when I don't write rest, it's because I don't want you resting. I don't want you sitting on your phone. And, people email me, oh, the workout took an hour and a half. And I'm like, cool, you could have done it in 40 minutes. So you just wasted both of our time. And so I think the importance of following through and pushing yourself to restart, and like you said, not taking that extra second, it really does transform the intensity of a workout. I think Rob's a really good coach. I do not know him extremely well, but I have touched base with him. It was a lot of years ago. But I think the essential movements are sometimes lost with a lot of coaches, and they try to get caught up in like the flashy or the exciting workouts or the new movement every week. But sometimes it's just the basic things, like you said, just the squats, the push-ups, the pull-ups, the being able to do a burpee with weight on you, and being able to deal with sometimes the mental dryness of that. So I guess I don't know as much about your relationship for your team event, but I would love to know, like, you teamed up with another girl and you were able to win the team event. Like, tell me what that was like. Do you feel like you performed better because there was more pressure not to let someone down, or performed worse, or how did that all happen?
I guess just some background on my teammate and I. So she's never done a GoRec event ever. I called her after failing selection last year and was like, oh my God, they're not doing selection again. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she's like, well, you're going to sign up for team assessment and I'm going to be your partner. So she's actually like one of my best friends. And I think that's 75-80% of it. I mean, definitely a huge part not wanting to let her down, but just having that kind of unwritten conversation between her and I. Like, I'd look over at her and I could tell she was hurting, or she'd look over at me and be like, oh God. And you can tell kind of who were the better friends in the group. Not saying that you can't just meet someone offline and be their teammate, but just kind of understanding how the other person was, what their strengths and their weaknesses were. We've trained together multiple times. We've been friends for like 4 years. So just knowing that she's the taller, faster one and I'm the short, stocky one, so I should probably carry and she should probably do other things. And just, I broke down and actually yelled at her once. It was like 47 hours in and I'm like, I know it's close. I just want to be done. But having that kind of understanding where if I bark at her, she barks at me, like not taking it personally. None of the teams actually there got in any fits with each other, but just understanding that 2 days without sleep is a lot, especially on a friendship. That was interesting. Both of us not really, I mean, aside from selection last year was my first GoRec event. Like, both of us were pretty new, so I gave her all the information and knowledge I could, but I mean, at that point, we didn't really know what was going on.
Sometimes ignorance can be bliss.
Definitely.
So going back to how you felt after that selection, and I hate to kind of touch on a hard time. Personally, I've failed some huge events in my own life that were really difficult to grasp, but I'd be curious kind of how your feelings were immediately after it happened and then how you use that moving forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's fine to revisit. I don't mind. It keeps me humble. I mean, I think I cried on the phone, honestly, for like 3 hours with two different people. I called my TA partner and then another friend. I think in the very beginning, it was a lot of just disbelief because I hit 53 pushups out of 55. Pretty much anything that could have gone wrong did. And it was just a lot of, again, not knowing GoRec and just not knowing what the hell I was doing there. Like, I actually DQ'd the first round of sit-ups because my hands came apart. So I retested both twice. And I actually came out of the PT test with a yellow patch. So I'd already gotten 2 marks against me. So I was just like, what am I doing here? I mean, which is what they want. But I don't think I've ever by myself. I mean, I've been on plenty of sports teams and things like that and worked towards a championship or worked towards a goal, but never kind of defined myself and who I was by a goal. And I think that was the hardest pill to swallow out of all this was, yes, I failed. And yes, failure is fine. But this failure doesn't define me. And I think I spent a good probably 6, 7, 8 months. I mean, even into TA, I was like, I have to complete TA and I have to win and I have to do this because, like, I'm a failure if I don't. And I think realizing, I mean, obviously it helped that I won and I've completed team assessment, but just realizing that life goes on. And even for people of past selection and pre-selection and things like that, I mean, at the end of the day, you're Rachel and you're so-and-so, and that the small 48 hours out of your life doesn't define if you're going to succeed in other aspects of your life. So it was kind of, I think, more of a internal thing than it was of a physical aspect.
So I'm going to go off the script a little of the questions we had written out for you. So bear with me as I try to frame this question. But I think something I'm hearing in you that I haven't heard in a lot of the athletes we've talked to, and we have stuck mostly with like cyclists and people that identify more as runners, whether that's trail or ultra runners. Something I'm hearing with you is a lot of confidence in yourself as a woman and in your capabilities and how you are able to differentiate your sport and your athletic achievements from kind of your self-worth. And I guess I'm wondering where that strength comes from, because that's something I've personally had, and it's been hard to narrow down how and why to teach other people that. But if you can think of anything that, I guess, where you got your identity from and kind of why sport doesn't seem to define you.
Yeah, definitely. I like that question. I guess kind of just back into why I even attempted selection and why I wanted to do all this. Just my general, everyone asks like your why for doing these events. I guess in short have been in a really not bad, but negative space for what I do for a living. And I'm thankful, especially during this time, that I even have a job, but just a very negative, like I have to spend 40 hours a week doing something that I don't love. And I've been actively looking for a new job for the past 2.5, now probably 3 years. And then now with COVID, just making it even more difficult, that I was so kind of encompassed by why I went to college and I hate this job that I'm doing. Like, kind of that in itself was the first wave of I have no self-worth because nobody wants to hire me. Like, spending 2.5 years being interviewed and kind of told you suck, I guess, in short, and you're great, but X, Y, and Z. That was kind of a huge thing going into selection last year. I'm like, you guys, even this year, like to the cadre, you can't tell me anything worse than I've already told myself. I mean, now it's still there. I mean, still have a job, but nothing I'd write home about per se. Yeah, I think just separating that in itself, and that's, I think, why I do such hard events and kind of why I enjoy working out so much, is the stress release. But obviously this is kind of beyond just getting away from my 9-to-5. I definitely don't know kind of what was the turning point to realizing my self-worth, just realizing that I'm not a bad person and that none of these people really know who I am, even if they see me as a resume or see me as another number. Kind of just jumbling this all together, sorry, a very winded answer. Just kind of realizing that, you know, shit happens and people don't realize their impact on others. Like all these kind of interview processes and things like that, and even coworkers of mine like not realizing how I'm feeling. So just kind of, again, detaching that and dehumanizing it. I'm not sure if that's the right word, but just realizing that I'm still a good person and that kind of I'm in control of how I can look at my life. And if I sit here and kind of cry about it and say woe is me, then it's definitely going to be bad. And it's definitely going to be negative. But if I at least try to kind of be my own light at the end of the tunnel, then at least I have a better outlook on it.
Man, are you sure you're not 75? I feel like there's so much wisdom in here. Not to get too philosophical, but I mean, there's something like, and I'm not per se religious at all, more spiritual, I guess, but there's something in like Buddhism that says the harder and more you suffer at the younger of age, the more you have like in time to appreciate life. And that's something I've had to learn myself too, is that, you know, we're definitely not a rejection, you know, we're not, our self-worth isn't created by what other people see us as, it's our reaction to that rejection. And it just sounds like you've had some hardships, and it's really cool to see that you haven't taken that as a personal assault, or you haven't gone with like the woe is me, I think, characteristic that the other, you know, 90% of Americans have fallen into. So I guess something, I feel like I already know your answer here, but something that we did want to ask you is, do you feel like, or would you like to see differences in the sexes in these sports, or are you okay with realizing that you may not have the speed or the strength of a man, but you have the mental edge because obviously you've been able to be very successful?
Yeah, actually, I've been kind of toying back and forth with this because I did have that interview after pre-selection with Emily McCarthy, since they did change the weight, I guess, kind of just in short, the GORUCK approach to this question. They did change the weight requirement for women to be 30 and then men are 45. I think just in the moment, I was so beat down from pre-selection and 45 pounds that I'm like, yeah, totally, like change that weight. Now I'm really not so sure. I really think 45 pounds, and I don't know. I mean, there's some things, like obviously women aren't going to be as fast as a man running and may not be able to carry as much, maybe like over time. But I think for the events, especially like GORUCK selection, those aren't life and death. And obviously like special forces, the weight there is life and death because you're out carrying guns and you're out running away from people and things like that. I think possibly there is when the gender roles should be different, but in a non-life-threatening situation, like pre-selection, selection, team assessment, even OCR, I think women should be the same as men.
So I guess I was curious, because I did see that they are doing some separate events. Do you see that, or how do you feel about that?
Very indifferent about it. I mean, I don't know. And if Jason and Emily are listening to this, I'm sorry. I think it's a great business approach, in my opinion. I think getting more people involved, like 45 pounds just sucks real bad. And I'm not a big person. I'm 5'5". I just think to have more women sign up, 30 pounds is the way to go. And same with team assessment. So I only had to carry 20 pounds for the women division. Just more people are going to sign up, plain and simple. I mean, that's just, I think if they want to grow their brand and have more women on the radar, I think that's a huge push in 2020 and at least 2021. Then I totally agree. But I don't know. I think a evolving standard, at least in regards to selection, doesn't seem right.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, knowing kind of the business side of that business as well. And I think you can't fault, like I'm a race director and, you know, I don't have separate cutoffs for men and women, but I definitely think about making sure my races are tailored to, I have races that are tailored to, you know, be very, very hard. And I have races that are tailored to be very, very friendly for everyone and every level. And I know every time I make a race or an event that is more friendly to more people, I make a lot more money. And since I run a race direction or race promotion company to donate all the proceeds, obviously those events are important. So I think you did a great politically correct answer. It's important for the business. It's important for the brand. But it's also good to get more people out there. So that said, I know we've taken a lot of your time. I would love to ask, it's actually a question Alyssa usually asks. It's a little more fun. But if you could go anywhere, COVID and money not being a factor, is there any race or dream location you would like to go explore or do an event at?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not as familiar with international races. I think there was one, it was like in Panama. I'm not sure the exact one off the top of my head, but I would really like to do the Ultimate Suck out of Chicago. That's just been, I think it's Labor Day weekend. And the past 2 years I've been training for selection and pre-selection, so I've not really been allowed to race, potentially hurt myself before a big event. So I guess I would say the Ultimate Suck.
Awesome. That's so much fun. So after you finish something like pre-selection or the teams, what is your go-to post meal? Like, what's the first thing you grab when you're hungry again?
Oh man, I'm known for eating two dinners. I think I had like 2.5 or 3 after selection. Tacos.
That's awesome. That sounds super yummy.
Yeah, I'm a two dinner kind of gal myself. I've always been a bigger evening eater than a morning eater, but you know, 2-3 dinners, who's there to judge? So I guess finally to wrap it up, we're so appreciative of your time. Where can people find you on social media? Obviously we have our own personal, we'll include that in the show notes, and we do encourage people to like and subscribe, leave reviews if you like the podcast, but yeah, where can they find you? Where can they contact you if you're okay with that?
Definitely. Rachel Lotz, L-O-T-Z, Z as in zebra, on Facebook, and Instagram is RAAYCH_. Kind of like the pronunciation of Rach. And that's it for me. I'm not a cool millennial and I only have 2 social medias. So
plenty cool. You're clearly putting your time into very important things like kicking ass. So more important than Instagram stories. Awesome. Well, Rachel, thank you again, and really looking forward to following your journey moving forwards and opening up a lot of doors for everyone in this sport.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me on here.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it was super fun to virtually meet you, and I hope we can convince you to come out to Hawaii or, you know, for an event soon, or I can go meet you girls on mainland somewhere.
Perfect. Anytime.
Well, thank you so much again, Rachel. This was such a fun conversation, and we will catch up again soon.